We'll do it live. We'll do it live, damn it. Bill O'Reilly losing his mind on, what was that? What was that? Was that Inside Edition years ago that he used to host, Cabali? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember it when it happened.
I don't either.
I definitely remember that. I see the clips all the time now. I mean, you left out a couple swear words, but.
We'll do it live. I'm not going to swear right off the top today because welcome into Cabali and Mac. We got a lot to talk about today, and we got to do it in a very condensed amount of time because Cabali decided to get his furniture delivered in the middle of the show. Good work by you, horse.
It ain't me. Call up Levin and complain about
you're getting it at all. You're lucky. We waited like 6 months for a couch one time. But good to hear that you're getting it. We do have to thank right off the top, as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, our brand new title sponsors, the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com. That's H-A-E-C-K. HeckTeamHomes.com. They are our new title sponsors here on Cabali and Mac. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, the entire team there, ready to help you if you're looking to buy or sell a home. Fantastic people. And they get it done, too. Like, they're all over the place. And so we can't thank them enough for bringing the two families together. Cabali, right? The Cabali and Mac family and the Heck team. You see how that works? It's togetherness, brother.
I see that. Get her done, right? Get her done.
So thanks again to Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, and everyone at the Dan Heck team. HeckTeamHomes.com is where you go. Like I said, if you're looking to buy or sell a home, and maybe right now is the perfect time for you. Maybe you're not looking yet, but you want to know where to look when it is time. You're not in some beautiful brand new mansion like Cabali. Out here in Jefferson Hills, or maybe
you live a couple blocks down from me, right?
Shut up. Maybe you're looking to get out of a tiny little hovel with a basement like mine, and move into something bigger and upgrade. Dan and Michelle, Jeremy, everyone at Heck Team Homes, ready to help you out. HeckTeamHomes.com. Thanks to them for jumping in. We got to talk about this Cooper Kupp thing right off the top. He does not want out of LA, but the Rams are pushing him out. With that said, the next thing that we have to ask ourselves is how hard should Omar be going after Cooper Kupp? Omar Khan, Steelers GM. You give it a fart noise and a thumbs down, Cabali.
Yeah, I don't think that's what they need right now. I think he is definitely on the way back end of his career. If you looked at him last year, he was a shell of himself the last 6 to 8 games after coming off of that. I think he had a knee injury. I'm not quite sure what injury he had early in the season. He looked good for a couple of games. Then he just disappeared with a really good offense, a really good coordinator, a really good quarterback. I don't think that's what you want right now unless you – I mean, I'd even look at his numbers. What's his contract? How much would he cost this year? I'm just trying to look.
I don't think it's a ton. I want to say it's like 10 to 12. And then on top of it, there is a lot of talk about the Rams eating some of that in order to move on from him. So
there's a roster bonus due here in another month or so that gives him $7.5 million. They would never pay that on top of the 12.5 base salary. You're looking a crazy amount of money there for a 32-year-old's on the backside of his career. I'd much rather put it somewhere else. Now, if Omar can finagle some stuff and get him for, you know, a bucket of golf balls at the old range, yeah, I wouldn't shoo him away, but I'm not going out like it was the Cooper Kupp of 3 to 4 years ago.
No, I don't think anybody believes it's the Cooper Kupp of 3 to 4 years ago. Our buddy Sloss Boss says no chance. On X, you can comment there or on YouTube, Cabali and Mac on YouTube. Go subscribe now and you can leave all the comments you want when we're live streaming. And if you could get the Rams to pick up, for example, most of that roster bonus, say $5 million, right? And you could get Lewis Riddick thinks he's, and you could say what you want about Lou's talent evaluation abilities at this point. But he says he's a 1B. If you're telling me you're going to draft a receiver on the first 2 days and you're going to keep Pickens, and hopefully he doesn't continue to be a malcontent as often as he has been, and you could add Cooper Kupp to the mix. I mean, that's another one of those moves that we talked about last week. People are emailing you about it already. That's one of those moves that we talked about last week where you can instantly make over the wide receiver room, bang, in one offseason. And I'm not expecting him to be the guy from 3 years ago.
No, you know, here's the thing, though. I don't know how much they want to spend on receivers in general. They got enough money, right? They got 40-plus million, can make it up to probably 45, 50 million or whatever. But, you know, there's a guy that had a pretty decent season this past year. Calvin Austin is heading into the final year of his. We don't really talk about that guy of being a guy you want to lock up before he hits free agency. But what he did last year, you might have to consider him as a guy that you want to sign. Now, is he a 3-for-30 type of guy? Potentially. That's not like that's crazy money nowadays in the NFL. Would you rather have Cooper Kupp at 32 years old with the best days behind him or Calvin Austin for 4 years at, you know, 8 to 10 a year? I don't know. Of course, you'd like to have both. One obviously cheaper than the other, but I don't know if I would do that to then just say, okay, bye to Calvin Austin. I don't think I would do that.
Well, I think it depends what role you're asking each one to fulfill, right? If I'm asking Calvin Austin to be my number two wide receiver, we got bigger issues, right? Like, he's a three at best. I that's just the way I see it. And great kid by all accounts, gives you something in the return game occasionally. That's awesome. I don't know if that makes him more valuable than a number two wide receiver, which Kupp would step in and be right away. Again, I'm not expecting him to be Kupp from 3 years ago and catch 100 balls and, you know, triple crown receiving leader, but that's a hell of a compliment to maybe pull a little bit of coverage away from Pickens.
Yeah. I don't know. I just wonder how much interest is around the league for him. I mean, do you just play it off and hopefully they cut him? I mean, that could be another way too. I mean, they could easily cut him and not, they don't want to bring him back, and then you can scoop him up like that. I'm not quite sure how much interest Cooper Kupp would have on for the outside, because like I said, that those last 2 months of the season were awful for him. There were games he would have no receptions, maybe one target. Something tells me
something tells me it was a lot less than 100%.
Yes, which is always, I mean, that's why they backed off of a guy like Adam Thielen last year at the deadline, because they weren't sure about him. And he was about that same age as well. He turned out to be a miss on the Steelers' part end of the season, because he had a pretty good 5-game stretch with the Panthers. So I don't know. The tough thing about that thing is I don't know if you want to go about that right now. I think if you're more towards after free agency and nobody has made that move, then you get him for cheaper. I'm not going to beat down their doors right now. I'm not.
I think somebody's probably going to jump on him before then, because they see him as a legit number two, and he is. He'd be a very good number two.
Plus, that wide receiver free agency class isn't great, so I'm just contradicting myself as I speak.
Well, it's all old guys, right? Like, the two options for revitalizing the receiver room this offseason, like we've talked about, older free agents. I know somebody in the chat earlier suggested Higgins. It's not going to happen. Or, like we talked about, Godwin. Godwin's probably the youngest of the free agents available out there, aside from Higgins. He's going to be 29, I think. Cooper, Hopkins, Allen, all these older guys, dudes in their 30s, all up there in the Kupp range of age anyway. So that's one option. The other option is you got to draft one. We've talked about Igbuka. If there's any way Luther Burden would slide all the way to 21, I doubt it, but you know, a wide receiver in one of the first 2 days of the draft, that's how you revitalize the wide receiver room. And I think you have to. Like, you can't roll into next season with Pickens and Austin as 1-2. Like, that's just, as Terry said in the comments earlier, that's just doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, which is what we're trying to push this team away from, I would think.
What about Stephon Diggs? There's a guy out there, a Keenan Allen.
Yeah, that's what I want to mix in the locker room, is Stephon Diggs and George Pickens, Mark. Come on. Why don't you just nuke the locker room?
Keenan Allen.
TJ the DJ chimed in. Hi, Teach. And said Keenan Allen had a hell of a run the last five games last year. So, okay. Yeah, maybe. On the cheap, you know, you get him for a year and 12, maybe. I don't know. It's a thought. But I'd rather have Kupp. I'd rather have Kupp. And like you said, if he's still out there, it's something they got to keep an eye on. My problem is I want them to be more aggressive this year in trying to add a veteran receiver and actually pull it off early rather than sitting around waiting for something like the Ayuk sweepstakes to play out. And then he slides out from underneath you at the last second because he ends up staying put.
I think they might have learned from that last year.
I would hope so.
That would be awful to have that happen again. I think that they can't go about it. I think they learned their lesson the hard way last year, that they just can't have their sights set on one guy and just wait for him to make that decision.
While we thanked our title sponsors, the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, for jumping on board, we also got to thank our friends at Southwest Greens, Golf and Greens. You want to putt like the pros? You're a golf fanatic. You could have a perfect putting green right in your backyard. How much time, this is a bad question to ask you, because I don't think you spend a lot of time on your yard, Kabali, but how much time you think you probably waste on your yard every summer?
Well, this is different because my yard's relatively new and it was tore up for a whole year. So you're asking, I could use one of those. Can they put the green in my whole yard so I don't have to cut the grass?
Hell yeah, man. They could do whatever you need. They can do sport courts. They could do artificial turf. They could do a putting green. They could do all of it. Jake's the man. Go find him at southwestgreenspa.com. Again, southwestgreenspa.com. If you're watching on YouTube, the website is up on the screen right now. We got to thank those guys for jumping in as well and becoming sponsors of the Kabali and Mac show here on YouTube, streaming live on X. Again, tell them we sent you and end up with the best looking yard. And again, if you're a fanatic golfer, like some of our friends, the best place to practice without having to go anywhere, right there in your backyard. Your dog can even poop on it, Kabali. And yeah, and it cleans up like regular grass. You just scoop it.
What about deer? I have a lot of deer issues in my yard.
Poop on it too. Yeah. Animals can poop on the Southwest Greens and it cleans up just like grass.
How about the people?
I don't think you want people pooping on it. Although there was a moment, was it yesterday, when I was coming home from the colonoscopy where it felt like I might have to run outside and just find a bush somewhere.
I think you might have sent me some of that prep this morning, man. Between 4:30 and 7:30, man, I was like blasting off on SpaceX. I don't know what the heck was going on.
What the hell? What did you eat?
Isn't that funny? I was asking myself the same thing. Now, what in the world did I eat?
SouthwestGreensPA.com. If you'd like to have the kind of yard anybody can poop in, and you can also not have to worry about cutting it or maintaining it like you do every single summer.
Real quick poop story. I was here last year.
That's what the people came for, Kabali. A real quick poop story.
Well, I was sitting out on my porch, and it was raining, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, a fox walked by, looked at me, took a dump in my yard, and left.
Yeah.
So we're acting like this is crazy talk here, but no, it happens.
No, it happens a lot. In our neighborhood, our neck of the woods, lots of wildlife. You got to deal with it. It's a reality. And they'll beat up your grass too. So why not just get the turf? SouthwestGreensPA.com. All right. So Kupp, you don't think is a real possibility unless he sits around on the trade market for a long time. I think it's something that at the very least, Omar Khan should be on the horn to LA to get a feel for what the cost might look like. Now, I know other people are out there saying, well, this is a perfect example of how, if you can get Cooper Kupp, maybe you can move on from Pickens. And people are dying to move on from George Pickens. Look, if it were just the attitude and he didn't produce, I'd move on from George Pickens in a heartbeat too. But I don't think adding any kind of wide receiver this offseason means you can just up and detach yourself from George Pickens right away. I understand there's going to be a contract extension at some point that comes due. Maybe you don't do that. Maybe you let the rookie contract play itself out like you did with Najee, and you see if he can get his act together. off the field. But like, you can't, let's say it's Cooper Kupp. Let's say it's Keenan Allen. Let's say it's DeAndre Hopkins, whatever. You can't add a veteran receiver and think that means you can instantly get rid of George Pickens.
You know, anybody short of T. Higgins, I think I'm really, really thinking that or believing that George Pickens will be back. So you better prepare yourself. But they're not just going to dump him and say, okay, let's cut the cancer and just move on here. Nah, they want to at least have somebody in place. And I'm like, unless you have a guy in place who is as talented as him, you're not going to do that. Because all of a sudden, that compromises your whole offense. It compromises your quarterback, whoever that is. It compromises your running game. You're back, if not worse, than what you were last year. So I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't either. But what's funny is, and our buddy Tim Benz from the Trib wrote about it this morning, about Benzie. Yeah, Benzie wrote about how the Luka Doncic trade had everybody in the world talking, including Pittsburghers, who traditionally don't give two wet farts about the NBA. And it was true. Like, everybody was talking about it on Saturday night or Sunday morning, depending on when you found out about it, and trying to do that stupid thing where you come up with an NFL analogy for it. And I think that's a waste of time. What I think is more interesting is that you had a team that was in the finals last year, which is the Mavericks, willing to give up on a 25-year-old. Luka Doncic is only 25. Regardless of what shape he keeps himself in, he's going to play in the league for another 8, 9, 10 years. And people are using that, including Benzi, to make the argument that, hey, you should be able to recognize when it's time to detach from a superstar who doesn't want to fit the mold that you want him to fit. And I guess that's analogous to Pickens somehow. I think it's a reach to try and make that analogy. All due respect to Tim. Because I don't think Pickens is the kind of guy that can get you to, for example, a Super Bowl in this analogy, like Doncic was able to take the Mavericks with some help from Kyrie Irving and a few other guys to the NBA Finals last year. Like, if we were talking quarterbacks, I think that's a solid analogy. Luka Doncic is an analogy for a quarterback because he can drag you through the playoffs to the championship round, kicking and screaming, regardless of what anybody else is doing. But like, that's a hell of a reach, I think, to talk about, oh, this is a perk. Plus, the fact that I don't think anybody's a fan of that trade. Everybody in Dallas hates it because they just got rid of the face of the franchise.
Yeah, it's the face of the franchise and the guy that averages 30 points a game. And not only that is, I mean, that's the Dallas people thinking it's hurting their own, their team, which they are. But then you have to look at the league-wide, even the nationwide view of this and saying you're really screwing this guy. This guy just bought a $15 million house in Dallas, and now he's getting screwed out of his super contract in L.A. Yeah,
Supermax costs him like $100 million.
And how much does the state taxes cost him from California, Texas?
Yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, you're thinking of that, you're like, oh my good. Plus, it doesn't help you get into the Lakers. Because they're quite polarizing organization.
Yeah, but he'll be the face of the Lakers once LeBron retires. Like, he can be the Lakers for the next 10 years.
A goofy coach and a interesting star player that, once again, he's, for lack of better words, somewhat polarizing LeBron.
Yeah, he is, but I don't think that matters to Luka.
Well, what I'm saying is the overall why people were so interested in it. I mean, if you got traded to Portland, you think they would have cared as much if it was L.A.?
Well, no. The Lakers are like the Cowboys of the NBA. Like, doesn't matter how many titles they've won recently or how good or bad they are, they're always going to be one of those marquee franchises that people pay attention to. And not that the Mavericks haven't been good for a long time. They have. Again, they went to the finals last year. But it's just not the same. Even if you're in media market number 4 or whatever Dallas is, it's not the same as being in L.A. and playing for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care how much Luka likes to eat. The guy drops 30 points a game and arguably the best player in the NBA. You know, go stick it out your, you know what. I think Dallas looks really bad. I mean, really bad on this one. And then LeBron, once again, Mr. Polarization here. I had no idea. Yeah, my rear end. You knew something was going. Okay, we're going to make a decision like this with your buddy, Anthony Davis, and we're not going to tell you.
Maybe that's their way of pushing LeBron out the door, not telling him about it.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't have drafted this kid. They showed it in a weird way.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, by the way. The best brain rot, and I send you a lot of good brain rot. The best brain rot I've seen are Bronny James highlights with the SpongeBob music playing in the background and just him clanking shot after shot after shot. It's amazing. And I just sit there and laugh the entire time. He's bad. He's real bad.
You could throw some Benny Hill in there.
Yeah.
What's that called? The old...
What's it called? The wacky sax.
The yakety sax.
Yakety sax. That could also be the theme song for the Cleveland Browns, who have somehow pissed off Myles Garrett to the point that he wants out now, too. It's going to crush their cap to trade him this offseason, but I don't know how they show up in Berea in August with an unhappy Myles Garrett. Like, that's the one thing. They don't have much going for him in Cleveland. That's the one thing they have going for them is Myles Garrett, and now he wants out. Like, I don't know if – and you're up against it, too, because now that he said he wants out, you're not going to get nearly as good a deal. If this had all happened, you know, in the shadows behind closed doors, like a Luka Doncic-type trade, maybe it would have worked out to where they got something. But now they're screwed. Like, the Browns are – I'm sorry, I laugh instinctively because when the Browns have – mud on their face, I laugh. And Myles Garrett wanting out is just that. It's the Browns have managed to go from upsetting the Steelers at Heinz Field in a wild card game 4 years ago to once again the Browns is the Browns.
Two-time coach of the year. It's just a shame it happens in an organization like that, right? I mean, I can't imagine being a Cleveland Browns fan. The only thing you had going for him is now wants out. You have nothing, man. You got a 3-win team. You thought you had it turned around for a little bit, and all of a sudden now it's we got Myles Garrett. He's the player of the year and this, that, and another. You can't even say that anymore. It's almost
like being a Pirates fan.
Yeah, maybe not that bad. You almost feel bad for him, right? Almost.
For Garrett or for the Browns?
For the Browns. I thought I shut my mail off.
You didn't. You're a busy man. I can tell lots of people want to get a piece of the
volley. I do got an update. It's 10:30 now. So
see, you were worried. And I knew these guys never show up on time. It's not their fault. They get to a house and somebody wants them to put a 4-piece sectional in like the corner of a crawl space somewhere. And they spend 3 hours there trying to do it. And then they finally get to your house. Oh,
but wait till they get to mine.
What? Is there no room for this thing?
You
were going to say shit show, weren't you?
It's going to be a snug fit going down the steps.
Now, you're going to tip them, right?
I already have to pay like $300 for them to deliver.
I know, but come on. These guys work hard. You can't give them a Gatorade or a bottle of water at least.
I don't keep cash in the house. I'm going to have to go scrounging the kids' piggy bank.
Do that. You can always pay the kids back. I mean, like a 10 a piece.
I was going to say, what is the proper?
Well, are they taking old furniture out?
I wish they would, because I don't think I'm going to have to cut that off.
You slip them a few more bucks, they might be willing to do that for you.
I had a tough time getting it down there, and it like scraped up the wall, so I might have to pull out the Sawzall to get that out.
I've done that before. That's fun, Sawzalling up a couch in the basement to get it out of the house. No, just if you're not asking them to take old furniture out, just the 10 each. I mean, that's these guys bust their ass off. There's four of them. There's four of them?
No, I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking here.
Okay, maybe then it's you get a little cheaper and you go a 5 a piece. I don't know if they're not doing a lot of work. I think Cabali with that Pat McAfee money can break off a 20 to tip a few delivery guys. Come on.
Yeah, I just had to never.
What are you mad about now?
You know how it is. You get a couple kids in the house and you're going to the store every 10 minutes.
Speaking of which.
Where did this $100 go? Where did this $100 go? Jesus.
Speaking of which, your kid was pissed about the Royal Rumble.
Last night, too, man. Oos was doing his opening promo and he went upstairs and he wouldn't come down.
What?
No, he goes, I don't want nothing to do with Oos anymore.
He's totally out on Jey Uso.
He used to like him too.
He's throwing it. That was like, I get it. The crowd was giving him his flowers and everything, but like straight yeeting for like 15 minutes to open Raw. Okay. What? Come on.
Telling you, I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
It's the kind of reaction I would expect out of Cleveland, to be quite honest. Which, by the way, I sent you a video or a couple of photos out.
I actually have to start looking at the stuff you send me.
Yeah, you should. Terrible towel opposite end of the hard cam side, right behind Gunther as he's cutting his promo on Jey Uso. And then again, greatest heel, Pat McAfee posted this last night. It happened during a break. So if you weren't watching it live and you don't have a certain level of Netflix, you might not have seen it. But the New Day comes out, right? And they're cutting a promo on Cleveland. And they say, y'all are booing us. Was it Kofi who said it? I can't remember which.
Yeah,
or was it Woods? It was Woods. Woods said, y'all are booing us like we actually want to be here. And then Kofi jumped in and said, yeah, we can't wait to get out of here, just like Miles Garrett. And instantly, there were middle fingers up. But the one lone thing I saw in the background is a terrible towel just twirling around. There's one Steelers fan there sitting in the arena in Cleveland waving his terrible towel as soon as Kofi dropped the Miles Garrett line. It was beautiful.
We got different levels of Netflix or something, because I don't think I saw this part last night.
Well, I didn't see it live. I only saw it because Pat tweeted it out. Tell it's like a behind-the-scenes feed because it's got a little bug up in the corner that says back in, and it's counting down how many seconds until they're back from break.
Okay.
So, but still, it was hilarious that Pittsburgh is everywhere, always.
Yeah, he dropped one of those in Pittsburgh when they were here for the holiday tour.
What did he say?
I forget what it was. He says, the only thing that stinks around here are the Steelers. I forget what he said.
I love good old-fashioned, old-school classic heel heat. Yeah. So your kid's mad that John Cena didn't win the Royal Rumble. Cena's mad that he didn't win the Royal Rumble. He's going to be back in the Elimination Chamber against at least CM Punk because he won last night against Sami Zayn.
Punk's mad that Cena gets to pass to the Elimination Chamber.
I mean,
actually have to wrestle anybody.
The Elimination Chamber is going to be stacked. I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. I have to think there's a way Rollins finds his way in there. Maybe McIntyre as well. And then you got Cena and Punk. It's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show, I would imagine. I mean, there's probably some twist there too, right? Maybe a little Joe Hendry.
In the chamber, you think?
I don't think so. You're going to have
I
to
thought have they bounced him from the Rumble way too quick.
What was he, 5 minutes, 7 minutes?
Yeah, and it was kind of
a story of he was sitting there and doing something to the Miz. I think he was giving him a choke slam, and Sheamus was just in the corner, just staring at him. And he says, "Sheamus is staring at me. Should I just like go fight him, or what should I do here?" He had no idea what he should do, so he just said, "I just stood there and just let him do what he wanted to do because I didn't know what to do."
But he, the way he got eliminated by Roman, right? And it was just kind of like you could tell. They wanted to just remind him just a little bit that he's the TNA guy and, you know, yeah, you're here and it's fun and everybody likes you, but we're going to just remind you of the pecking order here, Joe.
Yeah, sort of like Logan, Paul.
There are few. I've been very clear about how much I dislike Gunther, which I think is just me being a giant mark. That's okay.
He was great last night. Great.
He was good. I'll grant him that. But one of the few guys I really mark out on is Logan Paul. I can't stand that guy. I can't stand him. Like when he's doing his job. Exactly. Like I don't hate him because he's boring necessarily. I hate him because I just hate his face. It's just punchable. You know, he's got a punchable face.
You sound like a teenager.
But Am I wrong?
I guess. Oh, he is talented, though. I tell you that much. Who would have thought a YouTuber?
Oh, he's wildly athletic.
He'd go in there and do what he was able to do so quickly. So
yeah, it's not like I show speed going in there and getting broken in half by Bron Breakker.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one there. Wow. Bron Breakker just... Whew.
You like him, don't you? You're a big fan.
Well, I'm not a huge Bron Breakker fan, but he just destroyed him right there.
He killed him.
I had no idea who I Show Speed was until yesterday or 2 days ago.
Until Saturday night, you looked him up?
No, I still haven't looked him up. But
he got like a million YouTube hits in 10 minutes, just live streaming backstage and then running out for the Rumble. So credit to him.
I know the guy that was in I Show or Speed duty at the Rumble. He had to follow him around. And
yeah, who is that guy? Is he getting paid well? Should we hire someone to just follow us around with cameras?
I might be able to get him on the show, maybe. I don't know.
Well, Jesus, Kabali. Let's do it. Come on.
Speed.
Oh, man. Start pulling out that Rolodex, my man. Start making it happen.
I'm just looking at these comments right now, see if anybody's ripping on you.
Why would they rip on me?
I don't know.
Just cause. We also got to thank, while we're at it, and we're thanking the sponsors who have been so awesome as to jump on board with the Kabali and Mac show here on YouTube, streaming live on X and Instagram and Facebook. The guys, Tony and the guys at Impact HVAC, who you can look up. Just go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. He does a great job. Get the furnace checked before winter each year. Get the AC checked before the summer, which actually spring's going to be here before you know it, even if it might not feel it like some days in February. I think we're supposed to get snow tomorrow in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Yeah, a couple inches. Not excited about that. As long as we don't get a flex day from school, I'm cool with it, actually.
I almost said something wrong right there.
What?
You said, oh, we might get a couple inches, and I was going to say, is that what she said? But I didn't.
Come on, Kabali. Couple inches. Hey, that's all you need, as long as you know what you're doing with it. But yeah, so thanks to Tony and Impact HVAC. They know what they're doing, fixing your AC or your heating, whatever you need done. Maybe you had the heat go out in the middle of the winter. You know how much that sucks this time of year. Tony and his guys will get over there and take care of you without a problem. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Go look them up. And like I said, get ahead of it and schedule the AC tune-up for later in the spring, because you know it's going to be 80 degrees one day in March, and we're all going to be totally unprepared for it. Get ahead of it now and make sure everything's running right before the summer gets here.
Unless you get those darn crazy air filters, some of these furnaces, heating cooling systems has these crazy-ass filters where they're like...
Yeah. Accordions?
It takes me forever to try to do it. I'm glad I don't have one of those anymore, but I would call him up just to do that, because those things are a pain in my butt.
He'll do it. They'll do all of it. Impact HVAC. So check him out. Like I said, on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. I want to go back to the Cup thing for just a second, because I had a wild idea. I know you're not a fan of Cooper Cup, or at least if you have to pay him full salary, you're not a fan of Cooper Cup with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I've also seen the wild idea of the Rams wanting to trade Matt Stafford. Huh. What was that noise? Huh. What if Stafford and Cup were available together as a package deal?
So Stafford wouldn't throw it to him in Pittsburgh like he didn't throw it to him in LA?
Maybe. He was hurt the whole final back half of the season, Kabali. I don't know why you can't get over that.
Yeah, I am well aware of what Cooper Kupp can do and cannot do anymore. And I'm not bringing Matthew. I mean, a guy like Matthew Stafford, at that point, you're just once again saying, maybe the Steelers do believe this, they're close, right? You just need a quarterback here or something here. If you're going to do that, it all depends on the guy, what Russell wants or what they might give him. But if
you bring Russ back in that case?
At that point, you just bring Russ back, unless the numbers are similar, then of course you wouldn't.
So this is an interesting, because I agree with you that like Stafford doesn't make sense. What is he, 37 now? Especially what you'd have to pay him. Like, doesn't make a ton of sense. I do like the idea of Cup if you can get him on the cheap. That being said, both of those moves, especially the Stafford move, like you said, indicate a team that believes they're one move away, right? We've talked about that. If you're going out and getting a quarterback like Stafford, it's because you think you're one piece away and you're most likely a quarterback away from contending. The other end of the spectrum is what, and it's still, it's being talked about. I saw our buddy Starkey, Joe Starkey from The Fan this morning, putting out a poll.
Come on, horse.
Horse, I put out a poll. I hope you vote on it on my Twitter account, my X account. It was asking if the Steelers should trade TJ Watt.
No.
And like 2/3 of the people when I voted had voted yes, they should think about trading TJ Watt. That is a move that's at the end. And I even saw one of the respondents said something like, yeah, tear it all the way down, trade Cam, trade Minka, trade everybody, go 2-15. I firmly understand the frustration with 10-7 and being out in the wild card round every year. Or it feels like every year. I totally get that. And I'm totally on board with people who are frustrated at that. I'm right there next to you. But the idea that you are at one of those two ends of the spectrum, you're either going to trade everybody away and go 2-15 and what? Draft Arch Manning next year and that's going to fix the franchise? Or you're this close away, a quarterback away, a Matt Stafford away from going to a Super Bowl? Like, you're not at either one of those ends of the spectrum. And I think it's important to understand that. This team is, can be, with some improvements, can be maybe a 12-win team. They were a 10-win team this year, right? Everything I think would have to go right for them to become a 12-win team who legitimately has a shot at winning the division and doesn't crumble at the end of the season. Conversely, I don't think you're going to be any worse than like a 7-win team. At worst. Yeah. So, like, the idea that this franchise is somehow going to end up at one opposite end of the spectrum or the other is one that I think we keep talking about like it's based in some sort of reality when it isn't, Kaboom.
Well, people do believe if you blow it up and start all over again that you'll be closer to winning. I mean, you can get that franchise quarterback. You can fill the needs that you want to do. If that was true, the Cleveland Browns wouldn't stink this bad for 30 years. The Jaguars wouldn't stink this bad for 27 of their last 30 years, and so on and so forth, and the Raiders and everybody else. I mean, that would be like a cheat code to it at all. This isn't the NHL. If you go 2-15, you're not getting Sidney Crosby or Alex Ovechkin. You know, there's nobody there. You're not getting Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning that are sure bets. You have to take a chance. So at that point, are you more willing to blow it up and hope we don't turn into the Cleveland Browns or some
right
garbage team? Or you just continue to try to add pieces in the right position until you find the right mix? It hasn't found the right mix in a decade now, so people are getting frustrated, so get rid of everything. Getting rid of everything is not the answer. I can tell you that much. They just have to do better on the end of this of acquiring talent that can win championships. That's where you're at right now. I mean, it's not blowing it up. I can guarantee you it's not blowing it up. And the only way this would ever happen to TJ Watt would be traded is if he would go there and say, I want out like Myles Garrett wants out. And I don't think he would do that.
No, I don't think so either.
Right now.
And I also think, like, look, I understand the concept of they have Highsmith and Herbig, right? I totally get that is a position of strength for them. And I totally understand the line of logic and thinking that says TJ is at the age where JJ's body started to break down, right? And maybe that happens to him at some point. Or maybe he just becomes less effective, right? Maybe he doesn't get hurt like his brother. Maybe he just becomes less effective as he gets older. Totally understand. But I'm also at the point where, look, I know it's much more difficult to do it this way, but I think you can, and people are going to say, well, how's it going for the Penguins? You can rebuild on the fly without getting rid of the faces of your franchise. You can rebuild this team without getting rid of Cam Hayward or TJ Watt or even Minkah Fitzpatrick for that matter, even though he didn't have a great year. Like, you can do that. You have enough cap space available on a year-to-year basis with a GM like Omar Khan that, like I said, you could remake the receiver room in 1 year. You could add another running back. We talked about Aaron Jones or somebody like that a couple weeks ago. You could remake the offense, especially if you bring Justin Fields back. You could remake that offense in 1 year. It might not be the best in the league, but it might be good enough or better than what you saw this year down the stretch. And you don't have to get rid of the pillars of the franchise on the defensive side of the ball to do so.
No, I mean, that's the key to this whole thing. You identify the players that you think are the franchise players, the guys that can help you win, then you have behind you. You mentioned the running back room. They revamped the entire quarterback room. That's, I don't think that's been done once in the history of the NFL before.
And they did that in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, and maybe that didn't work, but doesn't mean they didn't do it. I mean, doesn't mean they can't do it again as well.
Right.
They revamped an offensive line within a two or three-year span. How good they're going to be is still yet to be known. But this isn't like you said, other sports, other teams. You just don't blow things up. You just add pieces. And that's where Tomlin's evaluation, and you can criticize him, and rightfully so, of not getting some of these guys right and bringing, you know, the draft, the scouts. The scouts have only been in place for 2 to 3 years now. This version of them seemed like they have two pretty good drafts to me back-to-back here that should help them out here moving forward. So I think it's just short-sightedness. I think it's just frustration when you hear people just say, this team stinks, they're awful, they're terrible, blow them up, they'll never win. It's just pure frustration, and understandably so, because they haven't won forever. So I understand that. But that doesn't mean, especially in the NFL, if you add piece A, B, and C, then hits, you're right back in it, man. I mean, every single year we hear the worst of first scenario. Look at the Commanders. I know they added the quarterback, and that was pretty significant. But that's the team that went from 4-13 to NFC Championship. Yeah. It happens every year, something like that. Maybe not to the NFC Championship, but every year something happens like that. You don't just blow things up, in my opinion. You just keep at it until you find that right mix.
I tend to agree with you. I will say it was frustrating as hell to watch Art last week, and I don't think we got to talk about this, in the sit-down he did with Ashley Liotis, Baldwin girl, by the way, B-win-win, in the sit-down he did with Ashley Liotis from Channel 4. Don't talk crap.
I don't even know what B-win-win means.
Okay, for the uninitiated.
First of all, B-win never wins, so we can go talk about that.
Let's talk about the hoops team this year, okay? Well,
let's talk about the basketball football team for the past 30 years.
Shut up. That is what we would do at football practice. You do what they called Baldwin jacks instead of, you know, B win, 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 A win, 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 L win, 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 D win, win, win. All you spell out Baldwin. Yanessa came up with it. And come on, are you going to question Don frickin' Yanessa?
That's the last time they won, right?
Again, shut up. Brian Geltzeiser would punch you in the mouth right now. So what was I saying? Oh, in the sit-down with Ashley Liotis, I didn't like the way Art came off at times. I know you excused it because we were texting about it. Yeah, and I just thought it was like, look, you don't need to sit there and counterbalance all the – like, I get it. You, as the owner of the franchise, you still have some pride in the franchise, I guess, and you want to point out the things that did work well the last couple of years. Well, we've won 10 games, and we have done a lot of winning around here, young lady. It was just very – I don't know. I didn't like the way he came off. It sounded like he was trying to make excuses or going out of his way to mention positives. He was trying to do that old compliment sandwich. Like, yeah, we know there's a lot of things we got to fix around here, but we've done a lot of winning here. Okay, the last Super Bowl appearance is 15 years ago, Art.
Yeah, I think he was just getting fed up. This was probably his fourth or fifth round of interviews, and he's well aware of what is being said around the league, around nationally, around locally about his franchise. And I think he got to the point where saying, what are we talking about here? I'm not 2-15 every year. At least we're winning 8, 9, 10 games every year. Don't lump me in with these garbage teams. These are obviously my words. That's how I took it. Okay, we still need to make playoffs. We still aren't getting done what we want to get done. But don't lump us in with these freaking terrible organizations that do nothing but lose. The teams that never made the Super Bowl. Teams that always win 3 or 4 games. That's how I took it. I didn't take it as, okay, should he have maybe approached it differently as a billion-dollar owner of a franchise? Maybe, but I can understand where he's like, come on, man. We're not being represented.
I didn't need to be reminded by Art of the team's success over the years. Like, I'm a fan. I'm well aware of the team's success over the years. That's part of what's pissing me off right now, Art, is that I haven't seen it in a long time. My kids don't know what it's like to see a Steelers trip to the Super Bowl even. Like, that for me is the frustrating part. We know you've been successful, so do it again.
But then we look back and you got a handful of teams. The Kansas City Chiefs are ruining it for every normal team. The Patriots ruin it for every normal team. They are the outliers of winning consistently. Normally, it's a team that's like the Packers. You think, oh, they're great. They haven't made a Super Bowl in 15 years. So they're right there, and they're considered one of the top echelon teams or franchises in this league. It's not easy to get to the championship game, but we compare them against these iconic Super Bowl legend teams that we've now seen over the past 20 years in the Patriots and the Chiefs. But that's not real life. It's just not real life. It's just, we might look back on this in 20 or 30 years and say, that is the golden ages of dynasties, this Patriots and the Chiefs.
I'm going to vomit if they win on Sunday. I am. I don't like the idea of a Philly team winning, other than the fact that I like the idea of Saquon winning.
Everything's in the state with you, man.
No, not everything. It's a redeeming quality in the Eagles.
I like this guy. Boy, Bill O'Brien's doing well in Boston.
I haven't mentioned Bill O'Brien once, you lying sack. Come on. I haven't mentioned Bill O'Brien once on this show. Real quick, Craig wants to know, are we on? Oh, hold on. Where'd it go? Are you guys on every day or just Tuesdays? What time usually? We're not usually on Tuesdays.
Usually on Monday, but somebody had something shoved up his butt like yesterday.
Yes, I did.
PSA. Go get yourself checked out if you're above the age of 40.
I was 45. I got my routine checkup. They found a couple little tiny non-cancerous. I think they're non-cancerous. I hope so. Anyway, polyps.
They give you the old Polaroids?
They did. I didn't look at them. They're in the app. I got to go in the app.
They just hand me the Polaroids, and I would take pictures of them and just send them to unsuspecting people. They're like, what's that? I'd be like, my
ass. It's my pooper. Why? You guys been staring at it all these years.
I'd be like, hey, look at this picture. What is that?
That's my butt. I made you look at my butt. So to answer your question, Craig, 2 to 3 times a week, usually Monday, Wednesday, Friday around 10:30. But we did it today because I had a hose up my rear end with a camera attached to it yesterday. And we did it early because Kabali has to get a Koch delivered, which they're supposed to be there any minute now.
Let me see when they're coming. Wait. Are they moving it back again? I got to go on this website and it says, oh, come on, 10:36. They're at Ken Gamley Toyota, so they're not that far away from me, I guess.
Oh, they're going to be there in like 5 minutes. They're going to come up on over the hill and drop a Koch off in your front yard. Real quick, I have homework for you. Or actually, I got to find the comment. Someone has homework for you. Where the hell did he go? Oh, it's the same guy. It's Craig. Should the Steelers bring in Mayo for linebackers coach, Gerard Mayo? This is what we call a tease. this is what we call a tease in the radio business.
I was going to say ketchup or mustard, but
mustard on the beat.
Mayo. Oh, my fault.
If I say mustard on a beat, you have no idea what I'm talking about, right?
Mustard on who?
On the beat. Yeah, mustard. No idea, right? Kendrick Lamar, nothing.
Kendrick Lamar, jeez.
Get used to it, bud. He's everywhere this week.
The old Chris Mueller, it's Chris Mueller, used to cover the Steelers way back when.
Oh, the other Chris Mueller, yeah.
And he once told me that Kendrick Lamar is his generation's Michael Jackson. And I almost laughed. I did laugh in his face.
This is something we need to do maybe on this Friday's Maybe we'll do an open forum Friday and people can ask what Kabali's favorite kind of music is. Because you really haven't given that up much. That's a homework assignment for you to think of later in the week. Let's do this tomorrow around the regular time, around 10:30. And let's talk about, since we talked all about personnel and players today, let's talk about coaches tomorrow. Does that sound like a plan?
Yeah, unless, you know, I think somebody's coming to fix my fireplace tomorrow. So
Jesus.
No, I think it's 1:30, so I think we're good.
When you got a big old Haas like Kabali, somebody's coming to fix something for you every single day.
It's like, I mean, it's just falling apart now. I don't live in.
Things a year and a half old.
Yeah. I'll have it paid off when I'm 89.
So, yeah, no, never going to be paid off.
I'm about to get a Dan Heck team and downsize here.
Well, hey, look at you. That you claim not to be a professional when it comes to this business. You are on point. Just as I'm about to close and mention heckteamhomes.com once more, our exciting new title sponsor, you drop it in naturally. You're a friggin' pro. I don't care what anybody says, Kabali.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. I'm glad you
means you're Oh, by the way, real quick, you've never seen Slapshot.
Parts of it, you know.
This is an abomination.
You would be stunned at a movie that I've never seen, like Godfathers.
Oh Jesus! Who are you even?
Nah, I've never seen God. You name some of those popular movies.
Goodfellas.
Like, nah. Like what was that one? Roadhouse. Roadhouse seems like it would be up my alley, but I've never watched. Roadhouse
would be totally up your alley. Yeah. As a fan of the mid '80s, that is like peak Kabali movie.
Yeah, I'm more like just
Point Break.
Oh, Point Break, yes, of course.
Okay, if you like Point Break, how can you not have seen Roadhouse?
Never watched it. You see, Ryan knows the deal on Twitter.
What did Ryan say?
Karate Kid.
Oh, well, yeah, everyone knows that you love Karate Kid.
Oh, you watched that's Karate not a question. Kid 107 times. You don't have time for Roadhouse.
What do you mean you don't have time for Roadhouse?
I watched it that many times. By the way, Cobra Kai's final season, last six episodes on Netflix, will be in 9 days.
Do you know who's in? Do you know who's in this season? Noted Western Pennsylvanian.
Elizabeth Shue. I don't know who.
No, Britt Baker, DMD.
Oh, she was in the last six episodes. She was in she was like, I don't know, it was a very short cameo.
Shout outs to Britt. We should try to get her on too. Because I've talked to her before and she's just super and she's from here.
So, every time we go to Target, I try to get the kid to buy the Britt Baker doll, and he won't. I don't think he wants to play with women action figures.
Give him a couple years.
He got a couple.
How does he respond, by the way, when Tiffy comes out? Or Liv?
I'll tell you one thing that he does do. His best entrance, he does different wrestlers' entrances. His favorite one to do is Bianca Belair.
Really?
He pretends
like he's whipping the hair around.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, put a shirt on and stop it.
All right. Thanks again to all the awesome sponsors who have jumped on board. Impact HVAC, Southwest Greens PA, and of course our title sponsors, the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. What's wrong?
Now they pushed it back to 11:10. Now it's back downtown to 10:47. I don't know what's going on here.
They stopped to get lunch. They'll be there eventually.
It looks like they're at Sheetz.
Well, you said they were by Ken Ganley Toyota, right?
That's what,
right there on 51, across from Bowser. Why isn't Bowser sponsoring us too? By the way, Gary.
Actually, they're right by Jefferson Hills. Yeah, Gary Bowser Pontiac, the best DNL team that ever lived.
That's the power, Bowser. Really? I didn't know they had a
DNL. Back 15 dynasty. Years ago.
Okay. DNL Daily News League, by the way, for nobody who's ever spent a significant amount of time in McKeesport or the Mon Valley. All right, I'm going to go. So you can go get ready for your catch. I got to run as well. Do your homework on assistant coaches we should talk about tomorrow.
Finish my darn wrestling story here.
Do that too. Right, you're right up on Raw from last night because I want to read that. Make sure I didn't miss anything. Thanks to everybody for joining us today. Thanks to heckteamhomes.com, the Dan Heck team again, for becoming our title sponsor. By all means, reach out to us on social media and leave comments on YouTube as well. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Yins, at around 10:30 or so. It's Kabali and Mac. Thanks for joining.